Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 60 of the From Pain to Power podcast. And I hope you're all doing really well. It is May. It's currently May 8th, and I am going to talk today about this really common thing that's probably not really talked about very much in the coaching and wellness world, but it's the reality that happens to so many of my clients is this feeling of being disillusioned when things don't work or when we've tried everything and they're not really working. And so I'm going to talk about that today because it's such a common phenomenon in my own coaching practice. I think also because there are no guarantees with this work that we're doing, with whether it's hormonal work, trauma work, you know, it's still all quite new work. And there isn't one way to figure it out. And there's so many different things you can try. So feeling disillusioned is a very common and very normal emotional feeling that happens when we're working through our recovery journey and things aren't going to plan. So before I get into that, I know a lot of you have been asking me about the menstrual cycle coaching and facilitation professional training dates for this October. And I'm glad to let you know that I have the lecture dates finalized, so you can see those in the link in the show notes of this episode, also in the link in my bio and Instagram. And we're going to be having a webinar at the end of June. We'll be having a webinar, two webinars in July as well, where you can come and learn more about the program and ask questions. And we're currently working on getting more information out. We're slowly working on it. And yeah, so hopefully you can, if you just add your name to the waiting list, if you're interested in joining us this year, the 2023 to 2024 cohort, we're starting in October. And there is a limited space. So if you're interested in joining us, do sign up for the webinars. We're going to be publishing those soon. But to hear about the webinars, I'm going to be sharing that as well in my newsletter. And I'm sure I'll share it here on the podcast as well. But just make sure you get your name on the waiting list, which is in the link in the show notes of this episode. And also, if you're interested in doing one-to-one coaching with me, I have a waiting list, but you can apply if you apply via the application form in my website, which again, you can find. You can either go directly to my website, lisadioncoaching.com, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. And it's a short enough application form. It's just to make sure that it's a good fit, etc., before we meet. And then there is a consultation. You have a free consultation. We just have a chat, really, and we get to know each other a little bit better. And I get to hear about, you know, where you're coming from, what you've tried, what works, what doesn't work, and how I can help you, and see if it's a right next step for you, and if it is an appropriate next step for you as well, if my coaching practice is the right next thing for you. So do head on over to the link in the show notes to read more about that, or you can apply. So with all that said, this is a really important topic, this whole conversation around feeling disillusioned. And so before I get into sort of the thoughts that I have written down here in my journal, I want to actually read out the definition of to feel disillusioned. So disillusion is a noun, and it is disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as one believed it to be. So the example there they have is their enthusiasm soon turned to disillusion. And I can certainly relate to that, especially when I think back on the early days of my recovery journey, when I first discovered all of the information that I now know about hormones and the menstrual cycle and menstrual cycle awareness and the education and the encouragement that I got from various different healthcare professionals in the holistic space, that is. And you know, when you journey this path of, you know, a lot of people who are listening to this have complex cases, in that it could be endometriosis or PMDD or some other complex, you know, thing that's happening. And it's not something that's really just, you know, healed or helped through taking magnesium, not that that doesn't work, or just making a few tweaks in your diet. A lot of people who I work with, I do specialize in working with people who do feel disillusioned and who have been around the block and who've tried a lot of things and need more support, or they need something deeper, or they need support with that. They need support with all the navigating of that. So I really want to speak to that, that this feeling of disillusion is very normal. It's very common. I've experienced it myself. And when I think about it, actually, in relation to that definition I've just read, I can relate to that in other areas of my life too. I can relate to that in relationships, you know, trying things, it's not working, trying again, it's not working, you know, the same issues happening over and over again in different relationships, trying to break patterns that are difficult to break, or even in creativity, you know, this, you can feel stuck in one, in your creative life, and it can be a pattern that you really struggle to break throughout your life. And you don't, it's this feeling of like, what am I missing? You know, is there something that I'm not seeing? Is there something I'm missing here? And then this like kind of repeated disappointment, and it can often turn into anticipating disappointment. I even did a podcast episode on that, I think a few episodes back, and I'll make sure to link that in the show notes as well, about disappointment. And, you know, those are two very linked, obviously, the feeling of disillusion and then disappointment, the feeling like, you know, God, I've, you know, like when you go from that enthusiasm and that excitement and that hope and that energy of, wow, maybe there is something that can really help me. Wow, maybe menstrual cycle awareness is going to, quote unquote, cure me, or maybe changing my diet is really going to get rid of these symptoms. And then it might for some time, and then it could return. Symptoms can come back, or they don't go away. And, you know, the people whose books we read or people we follow on social media who support us in our journey of hope and give us a lot of information and educate us on these topics, and we get excited about the enthusiasm that they present their work with. And then when we actually, you know, journey those, that advice and that guidance, and we try those things, and then it doesn't work, or it doesn't work to a certain level, we can very, you know, it's very normal and very common to feel disillusioned. And I think that's a really important thing that we start to talk about, that, because it's the reality. Because if we, like I've said so many times, like if we knew the answer to these questions, if we knew how to heal these issues, if we knew the answer, we'd be doing it already. And the reality is, we're figuring it out still. And the solutions that work for some people don't work for other people. And, you know, some people have tried everything. There's so many people out there who have tried a lot of things, and it can feel like you're just throwing spaghetti at a wall. It can feel exhausting. And we just have to be really careful with that. And we need, I think it's really, really important. I'm all about creating space for all parts of us. That's what my practice is about, is really working with the whole person, including the disappointment, including the anger, including the resentment, including the bitterness towards whoever, you know, even me included. And so if we're feeling disillusioned, that it's important that we allow space for that, and to give that, yeah, just give that space in our emotional body, in our aura, in our life to be, because it's a feeling that's very justified, and because it's justified, it's there for a reason. And it's important that we give space to our feelings, and we feel our feelings, because feeling our feelings is very healing. So that's the first thing I want to say, is like, it's how important it is to create space for that. So if you are feeling disillusioned, something that can often happen with an emotion like disappointment and disillusion is that it just happens, and it's kind of hard to catch it, and we can have this resistance towards it. Unlike, say, sadness. Some sadness, we can, it might be, I don't know, for me, it's easier to, I suppose, have space for sadness, or a more positive emotion like happiness. Whereas disillusion, I feel it's almost like there's a touch of shame attached to it, or like anger with myself. It can be very internalized. So that's the next point that I wanted to make, is to be aware of what meaning we're making from the disillusion. Like, is the disillusion then feeding a narrative that says, oh, we should have known better? Is it feeding a narrative that says, oh, we shouldn't have spent money on that thing? Or is it, you know, giving us a hard time and criticizing decisions we made, or time we might have, quote unquote, wasted? Or, you know, are we giving ourselves a hard time for having had our hopes up? So to really be honest with yourself about what meaning are you making with the emotion, either before or after the emotion presents. And, you know, what, just to be aware of that, like to really, really open that up for yourself and to kind of look in the mirror a little bit in terms of what is the meaning we're making from this. And then leading on from that, then the question is, how are we relating to ourselves in that? So what I often see a lot, this is what I see so much of in my one-to-one practice, is people who've been around the block, they've tried a lot of things, then they do feel disillusioned, and then they then give themselves a really hard time. And it's this like internalized victim blaming. I've mentioned this in the previous episode on the pill. You know, we then blame ourselves for not succeeding in healing our periods or fixing our, you know, PMDD or whatever trauma or any reproductive health issue, really, because I'm really looking at a lot of that stuff in my work. Is to, you know, this stuff is very, very complex. And so, you know, to really, really think about that as well. And like, what meaning are we making? How are we relating to ourselves? And just to really open that up for ourselves, because we can only start to work on the self-compassion piece if we kind of see, oh, I've really been giving myself a hard time. And by the way, we don't do this on purpose. This all happens on an unconscious level. And I fall into this trap very often. So we really have to just check ourselves. And to not have an inner critic about your inner critic, to don't be hard on yourself for being hard on yourself. That's another thing to think about. So that's like the first kind of awareness piece, is like really laying the cards out on the table, asking ourselves what's been happening emotionally, then in our mentally, and then relationally with ourselves. Like, what are we blaming ourselves for, if anything? And giving lots of space for all those feelings. And then there's this kind of other side to this work as well that I think is really important. So because obviously, if you're feeling disillusioned, it's because you want something. You want to achieve something or get to a certain place, and you're struggling with getting there for various reasons that are either in your control or not in your control, right? So there's personal, then there's like social, cultural stuff, there's family system stuff. So life is complex and people are complex, right? And we have lots of different parts to us. And so it can't all be our fault. And you know, there's lots of things in life we won't achieve, right? So we have to be realistic with that as well. But in terms of this next piece as well, like, it's if you have a sense that there could be a block or there's some kind of blind spot, I think that's also important, that to acknowledge that for yourself, that like you feel disillusioned, you've tried a lot of things to get your health to where you want it to be. As an example, within this podcast, I'm talking about health and chronic pain, and you've tried so many things and you're not getting the results you want. And if you've done the first, those steps that I talked about, like creating space for the feeling and looked at the meaning you're making and looked at how you're relating to yourself, but you still feel like there's something missing, I would also trust that. I would trust your intuition with that. If you feel like there's a block there, if you feel, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like a psychic thing where you just feel there's like something you just can't put your finger on. Or you feel like there's something in your blind spot. It's like there's a thing in your in behind you that you can't see, but you feel it's there. It's like a presence. Then that could also be that there's something in your unconscious blocking. And that's what a lot of psychotherapy looks at. It looks at helping people to bring the unconscious into the consciousness and unravel things so that we can have more choices and options with decision making and our capacity in life. So then that's something for you to think about. If you feel like, oh, there's something you can't put your finger on, you know, very often you might need to have some kind of intervention, either through a form of therapy or coaching. I do work on the unconscious level with people, or you can do, you know, there's loads of things you can do. You can work with your dreams. You can do journaling and free writing. You can use prayer and meditation. You know, some people pray to angels and request for guidance and messages and things like that. And I really do believe in that stuff. I believe that, you know, you get to decide whatever method you want or works for you, or whatever you're feeling curious about. I think curiosity is a huge part of our intuition, and allow yourself to be drawn to something that would feel appropriate for you to support you in, you know, maybe looking at some unconscious blocks that could be there for you. And that could also be ancestral. And the reason I'm saying this is because I know a lot about this. I am trained in family constellations, family systems constellations therapy, and I weave it into my work. And it's interesting because I'm trained in so many different things that I don't just offer one thing. But when I get when I'm sitting with someone and I get a sense that something isn't just in their personal field, sometimes I get a sense that it's in their ancestral field. I might do some family constellation work with that person, or I might just even name it in the session and get that client to do some work on releasing a loyalty, because there could be some kind of ancestral loyalty, and I can talk about that again down the line. But these unconscious loyalties we have to our ancestors can be like these trauma bonds that we carry. And when we carry loyalty, so a very simple example is, if say if you had an ancestor who grew up in poverty and suffered a lot, then you can have a loyalty to them and wanting to stay on a kind of even playing field with them. And then that can block your access, your kind of energetic flow towards more abundance and money and wealth in this life, because there can be guilt around, you know, why should I? And I'm not saying this is conscious, again, it's unconscious. Like, why, like, who are you to be rich and happy and wealthy when this ancestor who came before you really suffered and gave you life, right? So, or contributed to you having life in the lineage. So that's a loyalty, and loyalties run very, very strong in the relational field. And they are so powerful. They're so much more powerful, like, than we really realize. If you think about like gangs and, you know, loyalty to football clubs, and just like these loyalties can be so strong, even on a conscious level, right? So these ancestral loyalties, loyalty to the family line, you know, this is really big stuff. So that is something that I am trained in, that I don't only do that, but if it's something that I feel in the field when I'm working with a client, I do weave that practice in. So that's something you can look into as well. Now, moving on from that, because I know that's quite a big topic, I also have written down here, going back to the feeling of disillusion, is how has your nervous system been all this time? So if you have journeyed a path of trying a lot of things, reading a lot of books, educating yourself, doing courses, doing group programs, etc., and you're still struggling, and you're now listening to this podcast and you're probably learning about the nervous system, and again, I'll link some of those episodes into the show notes as well about the nervous system, I want you to kind of drop the content of what you know, because I know you know a lot. So drop the content for a second and ask yourself, how has your nervous system been in all that time? Have you been in a sort of frantic fight flight response, or have you felt like ease and serenity in your body and in your mind? And so that's a good question to ask, because very often, and I know myself for this, I would have been in a lot of fear of pain, and every decision I made with regards to my health was coming from a place of wanting to prevent pain and just not wanting it to happen. And so that's something to think about, is if you can relate to that, how can you then go forward in your journey of healing, trusting yourself more and being more conscious about your nervous system? And that is a journey. And again, I'm going to go into this in more detail, but to learn how to be in your ventral vagal, into your rest and digest more in this place, have more trust, have more faith, have more hope, have more access to safety with your body, with your cycle, with your pain, with your emotions. I think that's such a huge, big part of healing. And I see it in myself. I see it in all my client work, is when we prioritize that, that's where I tend to get more results for people than if we're just like trying to do all the things and tick all the boxes. So that's a really important one. And then again, kind of going back again a bit to this sort of unconscious stuff, another thing that is really helpful to look at when we feel disillusioned, because I know a lot of you are thinking like, do I give up? Do I keep trying? Do I just, you know, jack it all in and just go back to the way I was? Like, you know, what where's the line between doing the self-care and trying things and but not overdoing it and then giving up as well? And that's something to think about. And I want you to also ask yourself, like, what do you believe? Like, do you believe it's possible for you to heal? You know, and it's a really big question. And I'm not going to say to you, if you don't believe it, then it's not possible, because I don't think that that's true or helpful. But I do think our mind plays a huge part in our healing and our recovery and in how we relate to ourselves, obviously. And it's just, I find it personally really helpful to look at my beliefs and be really honest with myself. And I know I spoke to one of my mentors about this not too long ago. I think it was like January this year. And my pain was I was going through a wave of having bad pain again. And I said to him, I just don't believe that I'm going to, because I hadn't really told anyone this. I can't believe I'm saying this on the podcast now. I said to him, I just don't really believe that I can get better. I think I'm just going to be in pain forever, every month. I don't think, you know, I'm ever going to really feel better about, you know, feel better in my body having endometriosis. And he said to me, Lisa, that's your prayer. He said, that's your prayer. You're being really, really honest with yourself and with me. And that is your honest prayer. Because when you tell your truth, that's a prayer. And I just was so moved by that. And I kind of drove home that evening after our conversation and was like, oh, wow, like I'm allowed to not believe in my healing journey. And I don't know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, if you don't believe, it's not possible. And if, you know, you need to believe in order, like you have to believe, you have to have beliefs in order for you to actually achieve it. But for me, it wasn't about that. It was more about like kind of letting go and being in this place of like radical honesty with myself and radical truth with him and with divine source, and just kind of not giving up, but kind of just being in this place of like, I'm really going to allow myself to just not believe for a while. I'm just really going to give myself space. And I tell you, I've had a great time with that because it's been so liberating. And I'd really, really believe in, I really do believe in radical honesty and telling your truth, even if it goes against the advice of what people and medical professionals or, you know, holistic health people are telling us. So that's kind of another really big one is beliefs. And I'm going to make a list of these in the show notes, by the way, so you can go back to them, because I know this is a little bit, all these points are a little bit higgledy-piggledy all over the place. But okay, I've also written down here, what is this serving, or who is this serving? And again, this goes back to loyalties as well, because that's not always going to be true for everyone, by the way. So just to be really discerning with what sits right with you today, what doesn't, and just take what you like and leave the rest with this conversation, because I'm really pulling from different modalities and different beliefs and different kind of ways of looking at this, right? But with this, I'm kind of jumping back to the ancestral, the loyalties, the unconscious here with this question. What is your chronic pain or your suffering serving, or who is it serving? And that's a really interesting question to ask, because again, if we're in chronic pain, it could not, but it could be serving somebody in your life. There could be someone in your life who on some unconscious level, unaware to them and unaware to you, benefits from you being in pain. Okay. And I'll give you a really simple example. And I've seen this before, and I've probably said it before, is that the mother and daughter relationship. So a mother could be very identified with her caretaking role. She could be an Enneagram, I think it's number 2, or just really, really loves being a caretaker. And then the daughter could, you know, on the unconscious level, her staying in chronic pain or her staying in suffering allows the mother's need to be met. Okay. And I know that sounds really disturbing and it's not always true, right? You know, it might not apply and that's fine. But if this does land with you, just be gentle with yourself, because that can be a very heavy truth to kind of like a bit of a truth bomb to land. So just be gentle with yourself in that, because it can be very exposing. When we're working with the unconscious, it can be very exposing. The reason it's in the unconscious is because we're not ready yet to have this in our consciousness. Okay. So we have to be really gentle. We don't want to, as one of my favorite writers, John O'Donohue, he talks about in Anamkara, his book Anamkara, he says, you know, we don't want to, sometimes psychotherapy and psychology can shine these supermarket lights on the soul, and that can feel very exposing. And so just really allow your unconscious stuff to emerge gently through a little gentle shadow work. We don't have to be shining these big bright lights on it. Okay. So just really like gentle with yourself, because our defenses are there for a reason. We don't want to upset our nervous system too much, or family dynamics and relationships. But this can happen, and I've seen it before, where staying unwell, staying sick, staying in pain does serve someone's needs on some level. And usually it's to do with caretaking or being needed or something like that. And because of love and because of loyalty and because of connection and because of attachment, especially in the parent-child attachment, we can stay very, very loyal to a parent figure and, you know, pay a big price for that. Okay. So that's something, you know, we can really take on, and we can take on other emotions from our parents as a caretaking towards them as well. And sometimes we can do like, we parent our parents and it gets inverted, and that can be messy as well. So when we're working on the ancestral level in my own practice, I would be looking at kind of unraveling that a little bit, allowing the child, even if it's an adult, so adult child, to come into their child role in relation to the parent and to free up some of that loyal energy that's happening, because that loyalty energy is energy that's moving through the nervous system. And, you know, it can contribute to suffering as well. So that's a question for you to maybe sit with your journal for a while, or just to kind of meditate on, or, you know, date this question for a few weeks: is who or what is benefiting from me staying unwell? And that can be a really, really good guiding question to be looking into your subconscious. And just, if it sounds crazy, just write it down. Like, don't make any meaning of it. Don't judge it. Just put it on paper, or just make a mental note, and don't attach too much. Just let it be. Just be really, really gentle with yourself with this one, because it's a really big one. Then the other one in relation to this, it's kind of an easier one, but it's also looking at the unconscious, is what benefits am I getting from being unwell or being in chronic pain? Or what lessons am I learning? And so that's something really good to look at. It's like, oh yeah, if you've been suffering with, say, for example, endometriosis or PMDD, you might have been learning loads about diet and hormonal balance and self-care and learning to live more in rhythm with your cycle. You might have also had to learn, usually the hard way we learn these lessons, like you might have had to learn about boundaries, and maybe you have learned that you have people-pleasing tendencies, and you can be codependent, or you struggle to voice your opinion, or you struggle with your own relationship with anger, for example, and that's been a journey for you. So those are all huge, like, soul lessons. I think they're like amazing lessons to learn. And so in a way, like, the soul's journey, kinds of, we need to go through things in life in order to learn these lessons. So it's really good for you to, whether your pain continues or not, that's one thing, but for you to really, like, take these lessons and, like, be really clear on what you're taking away from this experience can be really helpful in allowing that pain and suffering to kind of trust you that you are learning things, and that it doesn't have to kind of constantly remind you these things all the time. Okay, so then now I have kind of a few last questions really for you to think about. And again, I'm going to put all these points in the show notes. So this is something for you to just sit with, is, can I go easier on myself with, because going back to the disillusioned feeling, you know, because I know I've explored creating space for the disillusion, looking at the emotion, feeling the emotion, and then looking at the meaning and how we're relating. And then I did look into, in all of that that I just spoke about, we were looking at, what are we missing if we feel like we're kind of missing a piece, or there's like an unconscious piece. And now we're kind of moving out of that, and I'm looking at more mindset work around this and things like expectations. So this is also really important. So I want you to think about, you know, can I go easier on myself in relation to your journey? Because the healing journey is not linear. And even if you do feel relief with your symptoms for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, there's no guarantees that it's not going to come back. And that is the reality. So we have to really allow for that. And what I mean by allow for that is, like, just be realistic and be in a mindful place. So mindfulness being with what is and being present. And we can't guarantee, we can't do fortune telling here. So, you know, we have to be careful with the fantasy thinking as well, the magical thinking. And so that leads me on to the next point, which is, what are my expectations? So what are my expectations? And your expectations will be influenced by books you read, stuff you see on social media, promises that are made by people, etc., etc. And so, you know, I'm going to give you permission to create your own expectations for yourself and allow yourself to decide what your expectations are for your own health. And then I also want you to look at what works and can I focus on that? So I know for me, with my own journey with chronic pain, things that work, and I'm not going to list them all off because I actually do quite a lot of things, but things that I know that really work are just menstrual cycle awareness, the basics of that, good sleep, exercise, movement, boundaries, managing my energy, managing my time, being really aware of perfectionism. And then there's certain foods that I avoid at certain times of the month and certain foods that I prefer to eat at other times of the month, but I'm really not very stringent with that either. And then the next part of that is, what doesn't work and can I let that go? And so there's so much advice out there of all these different things to try and do and things that are supposed to help. And, you know, if you've tried them, great, but if they don't work, then can you let them go? And then also, this is one I really love, which is, what do I not like and what do I not want? And can I let go of that? So an example for that is, I know yoni steaming is really popular and has shown, you know, lots of people experience great results with that for period problems. And I have done, and I do find it pretty relaxing, but I just don't really want to do it. And I don't really have a reason why or an explanation. I just couldn't really be bothered. And just at this point in my life, I just couldn't be bothered. I feel like I do loads of other things. I don't need to do it all. And I don't have any long-winded reason. It's just kind of like, I just don't want to. And then line drawn under that. And that's it. And that's really, really important that you have access to that relationship with yourself, that you are able to say, nah, that's not for me. And you don't even have to give a reason or explain. You're not doing self-care when you don't do that. You are, because you're staying true to what you like and what you don't like and your agency. And that's actually more important than everything. And then the next point I've made here is, what is your well enoughness place? And again, I talk about this a lot in my coaching practice. And I've spoken about this in the last episode, all about the pill, whether you should go on the pill or not. And to really reflect on, what does well look like for you? And what is well enough for you? And are you wanting completely no symptoms at all? Or are you okay to have some discomfort and then mind yourself on the days where it's difficult? Maybe take a day off work, take a half day off work, get support, you know, eat certain foods, take a nap. And is that okay for you? For me, like, I think that's a really, really helpful thing to think about, is like, what's your well enoughness, kind of the boundaries around your well enoughness place. And then the last one I have here is, again, coming back to emotions and feelings, what other feelings do I have that need some space? So sometimes when we're feeling disillusioned, you know, you might have grief, because I think that's a huge part of this journey, is grief. And when we have the space and the safety to be with those very difficult feelings, and especially if we are raised in families or cultures where it's not encouraged to feel our feelings or talk about our feelings, a feeling like grief can be very, very scary. And it is not, because it's, you know, it's linked to death, right? So of course it's scary. And there's maybe a part of like a hope that dies or something. But a really, really important sort of other side to grief is, I think grief and love are two sides of the same coin, really, because I think when I think about grief I've had in my life, it's because I loved. And so with this journey, with your healing journey, in a way, it's because you love yourself and because you love life and you love your body and you don't want to be in pain. And so when we allow ourselves to feel grief and to move through it and to move through all these points that I've mentioned today, one of the gifts that you might receive, I have anyway, and a lot of my clients have, is acceptance. And when we come into acceptance, that is a ventral vagal state of the nervous system. There's a lot more peace there. There's a lot more acceptance of self, serenity, more ease, more trust in ourselves. And you have more access to your intuition. So if there is something that comes your way that you feel like, oh, I would like to try that thing to see if it would help me, it's coming from a place of non-attachment and coming from a place of maybe curiosity or intrigue or passion or whatever it is, and maybe hope again, which is really important to have a connection with, as opposed to shutting ourselves and forcing this, like, you know, very high expectation of having no symptoms and putting a lot of pressure on ourselves and just being in this constant state of, you know, pushing, trying and wanting to feel better from a place of fear. So I think that's everything I wanted to say about this episode on feeling disillusioned when things don't work out or when we've tried everything. And I really hope that helps you, because I know this is complicated stuff, but it's such an important part of the healing journey, is to allow for the feeling of disillusion and to gently inquire about it. And I know I've given you a lot to think about and to maybe journey. So I would encourage you to just have a look at the show notes. I'm going to put them in my website too. And yeah, do whatever you feel drawn to and just take what you like and leave the rest. And as always, you can send me an email, lisa@lisadeoncoaching.com. And again, if anyone wants to work with me one-to-one, I do have space, but I have a waiting list. So please do apply on my website, lisadeoncoaching.com. And you can also find the link in the show notes. And that's it from me for today. Hope you have a lovely rest of your week, and I will talk to you soon. Lots of love. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.